speaker is a renowned recruiter. And when I say renowned recruiter, I'm probably saying it too lightly. He has trained over 140,000 people. He has hired over 25,000 people. Just recently, 3 weeks ago, he became a best-selling author on Amazon with the book called Taking Off the Mask, How to Avoid Hiring Dishonest Employees Who Could Ruin Your Business. Yesterday in the leadership group, man, we seriously wanted to just kind of take the batteries out of the clock and set it to the side so we could get some more information. Wasn't he awesome? 787, 777. Without further ado, let's give Patrick all the way from, don't let the sexy accent fool you. This guy's from Florida. So just say no. Please get, help me give a warm welcome to Patrick.
Yeah!
I'm going to come back. Joey introduced me. I should record it. Ladies and gentlemen, how are you doing? It's great to be with you again. I understand, am I the last speaker today? Something like that? Well, I'm just going to make sure you don't fall asleep. Let's put it this way. Right? So, very special topic. Until last night, I didn't know that those of you who were with me yesterday would be here today again, so I'm not going to repeat myself. I worked last night to do a new presentation that I'm going to share with you, and listen, you're going to get a treat, all right? Because you see what's happening on the screen there? It says the success and profitability scare. If I was asking you to define one criterion of success for your business, only one. Let's assume you're looking to, I don't know, maybe you're looking to sell your business, and I'm a potential buyer. What is the number one criteria that I'm going to choose? I'm going to investigate in order to find out if I should buy your business or not. One criteria, what would that be? Yes, sir. How profitable it is, right? Everything else has a purpose, is to make your business profitable. Does it mean that you need to be only money motivated? No. Being profitable is not a motivation, it's a duty for a business. Only profits can allow you to grow, to expand, to hire more people, to contribute to your community. If you are not profitable, it's not going to happen. You agree with that, right? So what I'm going to share with you is a skill that I developed over the years as a trainer. And of course, every step on that scale is related to staff. It's related to people you work with. But you're going to see that when you look at that scale, there's six plus one steps on that scale. Six plus one. You will understand that in a second. Why six plus one, right? But what I want to show you is this. On that scale, the higher you go on that scale, the more leverage you have on your profitability in the business. And each of those steps are strategic tools that you want to use properly in order to ensure, guarantee a strong profitability in the business. Now, by the way, you're going to get a PDF copy of that presentation. You are welcome to take pictures if I'm included in the picture, right? But you're going to get a PDF copy, all right? Now, the other thing you need to know about that scale is this. Important. Lower levels on that scale depend on the higher ones, but the higher levels will be very hard to reach without a good control of the lower ones. What does that mean? Well, you need to start with zero. That's the six plus one, by the way. Because the zero, if you don't have it, you won't be able to get the others. It is so fundamental. It is actually the foundation of your profitability. It is the foundation. So, are you ready to go?
Yeah.
Let's start with the number zero, right? Wait a minute, what's happening here? All right. Hey, looks like I'm stuck. Oh, yeah, it's coming. All right. So, yes, you could have guessed it. The foundation of your profitability is the way you hire people. Would you tend to agree with that? Personnel is the most expensive item in your accounting books, no matter what you do. Now, I always like to ask the following question, which is, I do have a problem with my clicker here. I do, right? What's happening? Nothing is happening to my clicker. Oh, yeah. All right. I always like to ask that question because I always know I'm going to get the wrong answer. What's the answer to that question? People, right? It would make sense to say people. However, it's not. That is not the correct answer. The most precious and the most valuable asset in any business is not people, it's the right people. Duh. But that is true, isn't it? Like I was saying yesterday, you realize that most of the time you don't lose bad people, you only lose the good ones. Bad people, why would they leave you? How many times have you had a staff member coming to you and say, boss, I really don't deserve my paycheck. I'm really too lazy. You know, you should fire me, and if you don't, I will. You never have that. So the amount of energy, the amount of money, the amount of time, effort that you spend in actually getting the right people, it's 100 times or 100% at least profitability leverage. Because you can have the best product in the world. If you don't have the right people to take care of your customers, it won't work. So we all know that. Which is why I'm going to start by giving you some fundamental tips on talent acquisition. We all know in the last year, it has been tough. It has been tough for us as employers, and it has been very tough for a lot of employees. So there are some fundamentals that have dramatically changed in the last year, and we need to be aware of that. So I'm going to start by giving you the number one golden rule on the subject of talent acquisition. And this is the golden rule because this is where most small businesses falter. This is where they are weak. And the golden rule is hiring is marketing. You want to get good people on board. You need to be able to apply all the golden rules of marketing into the subject of talent acquisition. Funny enough, we have about, I think, nationwide, almost a 7% unemployment rate. But as I come from the socialist country originally, I'm very well educated to tell you that the higher the unemployment rate, the more difficult it is to find good people. Did you ever notice that? Very interesting. Now, when we had 2% unemployment rate back 6 years ago, of course it was very hard. But let me tell you something, it is harder the higher the unemployment rate. Why do you think it is so? Why? Because those who have a job are insecure and will not leave their job. That's one reason. The other reason is when you have a very high unemployment rate, very often, and this is not about politics, very often a lot of people will stay home to get paid by the government. And when that is allowed, you have a phenomenon that has been growing tremendously this last year. That is, everyone knows about that. I call it the phenomenon of entitlement. Have you I'm sure that you don't want to hire someone who would rather stay home. So in order to attract and select good people, you need to really think like someone who's looking for a job. I know nobody of you, no one here is looking for a job. But the golden rule of marketing is to be able to put yourself in the boots of the customer that you are trying to steal from the competitor. Like I was saying yesterday, if you have 20 or 30 competitors in your business, here's the bad news of the day. When it comes to hiring good people, you don't have 20, 30, or 40 competitors. You have at least 500. Let me prove it to you. How many of you are planning to hire good salespeople? Raise your hand. Right, raise your hand, keep it up, please. That's about 80% of you. Well, it happens to be that trying to hire a salesperson today is the most difficult job to fill in America. It is the number one position that companies are trying to fill, hiring salespeople. It used, for example, in my company, we hire salespeople every week for our clients. It used to take us less than 5 weeks from the time we would promote the position to the time we would hire the person, about 5 weeks. Today, it takes us professional recruiters using all the available tools on the internet, it takes approximately 8 to 9 weeks. That's almost double. Why is that? That is the nature of the employment market today. We just need to know that when everybody is looking after good people, what's going to happen? Because everybody, about 80% of you are looking for great salespeople, right? So when everybody's looking after good salespeople or other positions, it doesn't matter, what happens? One, inflation of base salaries. Have you noticed that? Last year, the average base salary was less than $43,000 per year for salespeople. This year, it's almost 57. I'm talking about base salaries. So those are things you need to know in order to be able to compete on the employment market. Here's another question I have for you. Usually, when you try to promote a vacant position, how many job boards are you going to use as an employer? Give me an average. Two? Any better? Three? Any better? Okay, bad news for you. If you use 2 to 3 job boards and your competitors use 5, 6, 8, 10, 15, 20, 100, what is going to happen to your posting? No matter what job book you use, what's going to happen to it? It disappears within a week. Just to give you an idea of how much you need to implement marketing, when we find people for our clients, we use between 80 and 100 job boards. Have you ever heard that number before? You need to learn that there are so many job boards available. If you don't use all, not necessarily all of them, but if you don't use most of them, and your competitors got smarter from a marketing viewpoint, you are going to lose the most important keyword of recruitment marketing, which is visibility. Your first challenge, if you want to attract good people today, is to be visible on the employment market. And I hear you when you say 2 or 3, I know which one you are using. How many of you are using Indeed? Right? Indeed is the biggest one, not the best one, but the biggest one. How many of you are using ZipRecruiter? All right, let me tell you something, and this is between you and I do not have shares with those companies. I hate ZipRecruiter. If you don't use it, I don't care too much, except, and I'm giving you tips that are worth a lot of money here. When you use ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter has a application that will dispatch your posting to between 20 and 40 other do that. Look around. Now, you need to know how to do that, of course, when you use it. All right? But technically, there are ways, very simple ways, non-expensive, to make your posting very visible on the employment market. Now, I will show you a little bit later what are the best channels you can use to be more attractive and more visible for those people who are looking for a job. Now, the other thing I want to tell you is from a marketing viewpoint, you are dealing with two types of people, two types of candidates. Number one is active candidates. Those are the people who are actively looking for a job because they don't have one. Whatever the reason, right? Today, it's about 20, maybe 25%, between 20 and 25. 2 years ago, it was about 6% of the market. Today, it's more because of the pandemic situation where a lot of businesses have to close. But then you have another type of people, another type of candidates. We call them passive candidates. Those are the people who have a job and they are secretly looking for another one while being paid by their current employer. On average, a passive candidate will take between 2 and 3 months, because they have the time, they have a job. They will take 2 to 3 months before having the guts to tell their current employer, I'm leaving. That means that on average, employers pay those people 2 to 3 months for not being there anymore. They might be there physically, right? But if they have, they are looking for something else. And you need to know that about 69 to 70% of people today are secretly looking to find a new job, another job, another job, another job. From the marketing viewpoint, it's extremely important for you to know. Would you agree with that? Then from a marketing viewpoint, you also want to know why do those people want to have another job? Why? I'm going to show it to you, right? I'm going to show it to you because it's very important that you understand it. All right. So I'm sharing with you some weaknesses that we try to correct with our customers when we work with them. A lot of small businesses, they get ready to hire people when they have to fill a post. Like, you know, a customer calls me and says, oh my God, I just lost my accountant. And ask them the question, why did you lose your accountant? How long ago did you know that you're going to lose your accountant? He said, I learned it yesterday. Of course, nobody is going to tell you as an employer, boss, within the next 3 months, I'm going to look for another job, get ready. Nobody's going to say that. And then they try to hire quickly in a rush to fill that position. That's very dangerous to you. The most dangerous thing to do is to hire on a rush. How many of you have had that experience? Right? It's the most dangerous thing to do. Hire on a rush. Because when you hire on a rush, you are not able to really evaluate who you are hiring. It's like getting married with someone on the internet. Even if you meet them on the internet, you still want to see them physically, right? And you want to date them a little bit at least. Right? So if you want to be successful today with recruitment marketing, you need to get prepared way before you have to fill the position. And that's what we call recruitment marketing. And another way to call it is employer branding. Employer branding. What does that mean? It means that you need to brand your company, so that when those passive candidates start to look, and they are not in a rush, when they start to look, they know where to go and where to actually get information about your business before they even send you their resume. That's what we call recruitment marketing. That's where you build your visibility, even if you do not have to hire anyone today. Even if you don't have to hire anyone within the next 3 to 6 months, You should get your company prepared. What does that mean? Well, if you remember what I was saying yesterday, there's one thing that you need to develop, and that is what we call a dedicated career website landing page. You should have a career landing page dedicated to communicate to your potential future employees. I asked the question yesterday, I want to do it again today because we're twice as many people. How many of you have a dedicated career page on your website? Raise your hand. Look around. If you don't have one, those people who are looking for a job actively or passively will think that company is old fashioned. I don't want to work for them. They are not even interested enough to have a dedicated page that would allow me to discover about that company. You need a dedicated landing page, career page, we call it. That's part of your employer branding strategy. One thing you need to know is that when it comes to hiring people, your biggest challenge, not your biggest, but your first one, is to attract enough candidates. I'm sure that many of you right now, you're looking for people, for new employees. Raise your hand if you agree with me that the biggest issue is I'm not getting enough good candidates. Raise your hand. It's going to get worse. It is going to get worse. I'm not going to explain why, because it would take me another half day. But you need to really do your job from a marketing viewpoint. Again, I'm going to show you those different channels that you need to use in order to be more visible. All right? Here's one. What are your top channels for quality hires? Look at the number one. It has been true for the last 100 years. Still today, your best source of future employees is employee referral. How many of you are actually conducting actively employee referral programs? Raise your hand, please. Okay, let me give you some examples of application. I truly believe today it's still number one, not because I said it, but because we experience it every day, and this is coming from LinkedIn, right? And they do a lot of research, a lot of surveys every year, and year after year, they come back with the same thing, employee referral program. If it's done well, it will cost you much less money. Now, less than 10% of you actually do that. So let me ask you a question. Why do you think most businesses are reluctant to use employee referral program? Why? I'm asking you, right? Yeah, if you don't like that, you definitely don't want them to bring people that look like them, right? Okay, any other reason?
You don't want the competition between the two of them.
You don't want competition between the two of them? That could happen too, yes?
If you hire, you think that if you hire somebody and something didn't work out, you might risk losing an existing
staff. That's the number one reason. Yes, sir. What she said is like, if you hire someone who is a friend of one of your employees and that someone does not work out, you have to terminate that person, that it could upset your employee to the degree that your employee could say, you know what, I'm leaving. That is a fear. It's not really justified, by the way, but that is the number one reason. Yes, sir?
If you have more family members and there's a catastrophe or something happens, then you lose a lot of people because they're not the same event.
Absolutely. All right, so those are legitimate issues, but I want to give you quickly some tips because it's still number one. All right, what's the rule about the employee referral program? You need to have a policy that explains the rules of the game. That's very simple. That's number one. You have to have a policy. Now, what should that policy contain? Well, the first thing it should contain is that you want your employees to be open and to refer your people. You have to tell them, you are very welcome to bring people you know. You are very welcome to even put it on your Facebook page. I don't care. You have to make them feel absolutely okay. I can do that. I can bring my friends. I will not be penalizing the guys in the back. Number two, you have to actually create a program that rewards those employees who brought you people. You have to reward them. Two levels of reward. Number one, when they bring someone. How do you reward them? It's up to you. It's up to you. Should you reward them with money? Let me talk about that in a minute. But you need to reward the effort of bringing people. If they just bring someone, you give them something. Either a lunch or two or whatever. All right? I have clients, they do points. And when you accumulate points, after so many points, you have a weekend in a beautiful hotel, whatever. But there are two levels of rewards, when they bring people and when that person is hired and sticks with you for 3 months, which is the probation period. And that should be a good reward. Because when that happens and that person is a good person, you know how much money you saved? On average, about $15,000. Just by having someone brought by one of your employees who ends up being a good employee themselves, you do save a lot of money. That's very simple. Give them the rules of the game and reward them. Very simple. Part of your policy is you should be very clear that the fact that they bring friends, family members, you are not going to make exceptions. They will have to produce like everybody else. That's all. It's just a matter of being open and clear with your employees. Look at the stats. 48% of companies that are successfully hiring use first employee referral program. The other one is an interesting one too, because many companies do not have it and they don't use it properly, is the use of online job boards. Most of you, you use two or three. Whereas you could actually use for a little bit more money, you could use 80 to 100. Recently, I had a client in the Houston area. We did a research, we had 115 job boards to promote the position. I can tell you that position was very visible. Whoever was looking for that type of work, they would see that posting. It's part of the visibility program. Now, let me ask you another question. How much money do you spend when you have to promote one position? How much do you spend per month? Can you give me a number? 250. Any other number? Lower or higher? Did you say 500? Okay. Any other number? All right, so let me give you some numbers that is going to be a bit scary to you. Any type of position, you must be willing to spend $500 minimum. Especially when you know how to dispatch that posting on a lot of job boards. Unfortunately, you need to spend that money, and for many years I was saying $250. Now it's double. Why? Because it's twice as hard to find good people. And if your competitors spend more promotional money, for example, on Indeed, you spend 250, they spend 500 per month. You know what's going to happen? Your posting is going to go down on the list because Indeed, they work like Google. It's a search engine. Basically, it's the same thing. The candidate who is looking for a job, they are basically looking for a job using a search engine. So if you don't put the money and your competitors will put more money, your job is going to go down on the list and after 1 week will not be visible anymore. It's not good news, but you don't have a choice. Now for executive type of position, you have to be willing to spend $700 to $900 just to promote the position. And I'm not talking about LinkedIn. I'm talking about the normal job boards. As a matter of fact, I can say that because I don't own any shares, I would never recommend you to put money on LinkedIn, even if you hire executives. I'm going to share a secret with you. Every time our client required that we put money on LinkedIn, we found their resume on other job boards. Now, LinkedIn will kill me if they knew I was saying that. But I'm just saying, you need to be more aggressive, but you also need to put your money where you're going to get better return. Where do you get better return? Not by focusing on one job board, by spreading your posting on many different job boards. And again, ZipRecruiter, don't put money on the advertisement for ZipRecruiter, but put money on allowing ZipRecruiter to spread your posting. I think they do this between 30, 40, sometimes 50 different job boards. Does that make sense what I'm saying? You need to be aggressive from a marketing viewpoint, because if you are not, you are not going to get the return. That is why I'm saying your biggest challenge is to attract them. Now look at the other one here. Social professional networks. Well, you need to use them, and I tell you what, some people will say LinkedIn is better than Facebook. I say it doesn't matter. Put it everywhere. But don't pay for it. Use your personal account every week to put the link to that posting. Use the free application on a repetitive basis. If you have someone in the company handling your social media, can you raise your hand if you have someone in the company taking care of your social media? Okay, you should have someone, even if it's a kid, a student. They are so good at it. You pay them 12 or 15 bucks an hour, they'll do a terrific job. And you tell them twice a week, use the free posting on those social media. Don't pay for it. Just repeat the posting, okay? Now, the other one is also interesting because the next one is about recruiting firms. Headhunters, staffing agencies, sometimes they can do a better job. It is true that if I have to find a sales rep for you, I'm going to use 100, 120 job boards. I'm going to collect 300 to 500 resumes instead of 50. That's a lot of work. But at the end of the day, it might go faster. So that's another. And by the way, you look at the sequence here. Look, employee referral is number one, just as a reminder. Okay? Right? And the last one, internal hires. Before you want to hire anyone, of course, you want to check, can they be someone inside our company who could take that job? By the way, how many of you have more than 15 employees? Please raise your hand. The reason I'm asking that, if you have more than 15 employees, you should know, per the EEOC, that legally, when you have an open position, you have to legally propose that position to your employees first, per the law. If you don't make it available to your existing employees, one of them could actually sue you because you did not make it available to internal applicants. I am sure that you know what it means, EEOC, right? Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. How many of you have had to deal with them before? Good. Because I hope you never do. The EEOC is a government agency responsible for ensuring that you do not discriminate when you hire people. How many of you knew that? Ladies and gentlemen, if you have over 15 employees, you better get a little bit knowledge about it.
1-5 or 5-0?
1-5, sir.
1-5.
Yes. And I tell you the reason, Howard. The reason is very simple. If you don't have 15 employees, they don't think you have enough money, so they don't go after you. That's between you and me, okay? All right. So use those and be more aggressive on the subject. Now, the next one is interesting. What are the best channels for you to build a strong employer branding? In other words, how do yourself known and visible on the employment market, right? Well, look, company career page. I told you earlier, if you don't have one, you are missing the most powerful source of employer branding. Because as you probably know, as soon as someone sees your posting on a job board, whatever it is, what is the next thing they're going to do, most of them? They're going to check you on your website. They're going to check your website, see who you are, check if they can get information on you, the business owner, or the top executive. And then they're going to check, within less than 20 seconds being on the home page, they're going to check for the career page. And if you don't have one, you're in trouble. I know, because we ask. We ask when we hire people, when we interview them, we always ask them the question. Did you have a chance to check the website of the company before having an interview? So, of course. That's the first thing they will check. Now look at the other one. It's very interesting. We are talking about employers' branding here. For any position that pays more than $25 an hour, a lot of people will actually check you out personally, not your company. You, as the employer, they will want to know who you are. Do you know why? Now, the golden rule in talent acquisition is the following. People don't work for businesses, they don't work for companies, they work for people. So you need to have a LinkedIn profile for your company and for yourself. Because a lot of those candidates, they will go and they will check you out. How many of you have an updated LinkedIn profile? Look around, see, 10% of you. That's why I'm saying, you know, you need to have a young kid, even a teenager, they know how to play with social media, pay them a couple of hours a week, maybe 5-10 hours, and they'll take care of your profile. But not taking care of your profile is a risk for talent acquisition and for everything else on the scale, as I'm going to show you later. Right? So, and then you have the different channels that you can use. Remember, I'm going to give you a couple of them, right? Okay. Now, another thing that you have to be able to answer for yourself, because it's a marketing question, what is it that would motivate people to look for a job? Well, if they don't have a job, the answer is simple. But if they already have a job, what are they looking for?
Challenge.
Well, I'm going to show you, right? Because it's important that you realize what would motivate them to talk to you, because it would be based on does your posting communicate what they are looking for. And if it doesn't, they are not going to read it. So, this is again a recent survey by LinkedIn. Couple of things that they are looking at. And by the way, this is mostly the passive candidate public. We are talking about the passive candidate market. 45% of them, they say they are looking for better pay. But 44% of them are looking for opportunities for career development. They feel squeezed and restrained and limited where they are working now. And 44% also are looking for challenges. In other words, they are bored working where they are working. Almost one out of two. Well, what does that mean from a marketing viewpoint? You've got to use those words in your posting. You've got to show them that you are actually offering a bright future. Let me ask you this, how many of you have a bright future? Raise your hand. If you didn't, you're in trouble, of course. So everybody has a bright future. How many of you are actively, aggressively promoting that in your job posting? Raise your hand. Look around. You need to use those keywords because that's what they are looking for. You need to be competitive on the pay, absolutely. And by the way, being competitive, unfortunately, does not mean that you are paying people the average salary. That doesn't mean that you will be competitive. You You have to be able to offer more than the average. But here's the tip I'm going to give you. Don't increase your base salary too much. But increase performance-based bonuses. Don't increase. I mean, you still have to be the average, absolutely. And my best source when I'm looking and I'm doing searches on salaries, my best source is salary.com. You can just go salary.com, or you can just Google average salary accountant Houston, Texas, and you will get 10 different sources of information. But my suggestion, my advice, you have to be competitive. So check what the average salary, the base one is, and offer a range that goes maybe a little bit higher than just the average, but offer performance-based commissions or bonuses if it is possible. How many of you do that? Either individual bonuses or group bonuses. All right, those of you who don't, you need to start thinking about that because it's a uptrending wave. More and more companies are actually offering even group bonuses based on performance. I'm going to talk a little bit more about, you know, money and finance in a few minutes. But just when you look at the screen here, please include those keywords. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Anything that you plan to include, you want to be very open. Oh, I want to tell you something else on that. If you place a posting, an ad, in any job board, and you do not provide a number for salary, by the way, I say don't provide a number, provide a range. Don't provide a single number, provide a range. It gives you more negotiation power. If you don't provide numbers, you wasted your money on the posting. Because that's what they will look for that. So do not post any ad without giving salary numbers. And ideally give a range because it's more flexible. All right. By the way, I'm just going to do some infomercial here. If some of you have to hire on a regular basis, I would suggest that you check my website called thehiremaster.com. With my company, we are really a one-stop shop type of company on the subject of talent acquisition. We train people to become experts, professional recruiters. And I have an online training program you do at your pace, a couple of weeks a week, a couple of hours a week is okay. But if you have attention on strengthening your HR recruitment department, talk to us, visit that website, and you will find out how you can become or have a professional recruiter in your business. Now, I'll tell you something else. If you're a business owner, the best investment you can make, this is not a joke, the best investment you can make is to have someone in your company who is literally a professional recruiter. That person can save you more money than anybody else in the business. Do you know in America what is the average loss of money from a bad hire? The average. Any idea? 45. It depends how you count. But if you include the hours wasted, if you count the amount of frustration, disappointment from executive and other employees, the average is about 45,000. And it can go 3 to 5 times higher. That's why I'm saying, no matter how you do it, if you have a professional recruiter, and by the way, do not hire people who tell you they are experts in hiring. Don't do that. If you don't have one today and you think that, oh, Patrick was maybe right, I should look for a great professional recruiter. Well, you know where they are? Where are they? they are in your office. I bet you $1 million if you take the challenge, I will find them for you in your company. Why am I saying that? Because that person is your angel. That person is the representative of the company. That person has to communicate with her heart, her gut, how much it is great to work with you and for you. Does that make sense? That person has to be one of your best sales person in the company. That person has to be passionate. That's why I call the HR manager, I call them the angel. An HR manager should be the angel of your company. They represent you, right? They represent the passion that you have in your business. So they don't need to be trained, but you need to train them. What I'm trying to tell you is that the first criteria of success for a professional recruiter is the ability to communicate the passion that they have to work for your business. And second, the ability to sell it. Does that make sense? And I promise you, more than 100 times I was given the challenge to find them, and I always found them in the company. I remember about a year and a half ago, a client was telling me, Patrick, you cost too much money. I don't want to work with you anymore, but I'm willing to train someone, but you're going to have to hire that person. I said, no, I'm not going to hire that person. I'm going to visit your company, I'm going to talk to people, and I will find that person inside your business. You know who I selected? I selected his executive secretary. When I talked to her, she had been there 17 years, and she was secretly thinking of leaving because she was bored. And I got that from her. I had her spit it out to me. And I said to her, but wait a minute, you like this company? I love this company. But I am at a point where I'm bored. We gave her the job. She's doing fantastic. She's excited. She's passionate. She's the best freaking salesperson in the company for attracting people. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is the best investment you can make. All right. Here's another, and by the way, I'm going fast because I have 6+1 level and I'm still number one. So I'm in trouble right now. I get excited just on number zero, right? Okay, I just want to share with you quickly the other thing that you definitely need to do. You need to pay much more attention on what I call personality, all right? In America, small businesses, they tend to make a big mistake. And that big mistake is, I want to hire someone who already knows all about the job. Small businesses tend to try to hire people who already have all the hard skills, and they tend to neglect the other type of skills. We call them soft skills. They are personality-related soft skills. The problem is, when you look at someone during an interview, do you know that systematically, and you are not aware of that, you are going to decide if you like that person or not within less than 3 minutes. That is a statistical fact. Even professional recruiters fall in the trap. Within the first 3 minutes, you decide if you like them or not. In fact, many of you have hired people you loved during the interview, and you ended up hating them 3 months later. Raise your hand if it ever happened to you. Why? What do you need to know? This is the reason. You were hiring a mask. You were looking at the makeup. And you need to be able to look through the makeup, to look through the mask. And by the way, my Hire Master training does that. It teaches you through interview techniques, through investigation, how to do reference check. It teaches you how to remove the mask from people so that you know that when you hire that person, it is really that person. Now, mistake is hiring people mostly based on their hard skills and ignoring the soft skills. So I want to show you the result of a survey, a research that was done, not by me, which is very, very interesting, that illustrates the importance of soft skill. 46% of newly hired employees statistically will fail within 18 months. That's almost one out of two. That doesn't mean they leave. It means they fail. They are not doing well on the job. 30% of them fail because they can't accept feedback. Is it a problem of hard skill or soft skill? Soft skill. 22% of them will fail because they are not able to basically understand or manage emotions. Hard skills or soft skills? Soft skills. 20% of them will fail because they lack the needed motivation to excel. Hard skill or soft skill? Exactly. 70% of them will fail because they have the wrong temperament, the wrong character for the job. Hard skill or soft skill? Amen. Right? Now look at that. Only 11% of people who fail, they fail because they were lacking the needed technical skills. 11%. So let me share with you another big mistake that I see that small businesses make every day. They are ready to pay more money for someone who is very competent, has all the hard skills needed, and they are desperately looking for those people, and they do pay them a lot of money. However, what happens most of the time, when you hire someone who has all the technical hard skills, all the competence, they know everything about the job, you know what most of the time happens? They will try to teach you how to do your job. They will tell you that everything you do and the way you do it is not good. They will lack tolerance, they will lack flexibility, and they will be a pain in the butt to hire, to manage. How many of you have had that experience? And on top of that, they cost you more money. So, from a recruitment strategy viewpoint, let me give you that tip. It does not matter what the position is. You will always win better as an employer by hiring people who have less experience but more willingness. Always, 100%. Someone who is very bad with other people, has very bad relationship, how easy is that going to be to improve that weakness? It's not going to be easy. Someone who is lacking some experience, does not have fully the technical skills that you are looking for, how much is it going to cost to actually bring that person up to a good level of skills? Hard skills are easier to improve than soft skills. Would you agree with that? And in my 35 years experience as a recruiter, it has never failed. Never. If you have a choice, even if you don't have a choice, don't be afraid of hiring someone who might be lacking the experience you are looking for, but look for the willingness, the tolerance, the ability, and the willingness to learn new things. Those are soft skills that are much more important than very expensive hard skills. Right? Soft skills is always more important per those statistics. In fact, the company that did that research, it was about 2,400 companies were surveyed. About 812 managers experienced significantly more hiring success than their peers. What was the difference? Because they were focusing their selection criteria much more on soft skills rather than hard ones. That was the whole difference. Alright? So that's it about recruitment, talent acquisition. I could spend a whole day, as much as I could spend a whole day on each step. But I need to go to the next one to make sure that I share all of them with you. Do you have any questions on the subject of talent acquisition? Can we keep them for the end of this? All right, so if you have any questions, jot them down and ask me the question when I am done with everything else, right? Now to complete that chapter and talking about soft skill, you are very welcome to test my test, which I call the pre-selector. It's a very simple test that you can use to help yourself during the hiring process. It's a 5-minute test that you ask candidates to fill before you meet them, before you talk to them. And that test called the pre-selector will give you information that you can use during the interview to challenge the candidate. That test will provide you with a score out of 100. We call it the happiness contribution index. It measures how much willingness and ability that candidate will have to make your team, your organization, and you make you successful and happy. You're very welcome to go to hirebox.com, ask for a free 2-week trial. You can use the test as much as you want for 2 weeks, and it's very cheap, by the way. I made this available for small businesses. You can try it and all the tests on the platform. They are very much compatible with the DISC, right? They are not conflictual with the DISC at all. That's just much better. But the pre-selector is a 5-minute test. Let me give you a tip on this. Candidates can cheat on the test. What they don't know is that you know that they can cheat. So you can do something, and we give you recommendations. When you get the test results, we give you questions that you should ask the candidate to challenge them on the answers. And within 5 to 10 minutes, I guarantee you will be able to see who is in front of you, and you will be able to determine, can I trust them or not? Right? So you're very welcome to go through it, check it out, and try it. Now, I want to scare you a little bit to make sure that you stay awake, okay? Here's a horrific information. According to the FBI, in 2020, in the last few years, employee theft has been the fastest growing crime in the United States in the last few years. Not cybercrime, employee theft has been the fastest growing crime. All right? And I know that some of you saw that yesterday. Unfortunately, 1/3 of all bankruptcies in America are due to employee theft. That is the extent of how serious it has become. Right? Sherry was explaining to you, I recently wrote that book. It's an Amazon bestseller, Removing the Mask. It has nothing to do with pandemic, actually. I actually wrote the book before the pandemic. It was a great circumstance. Now, remove the mask. Remember the origin of the word personality, mask. When you hire people, you don't want to hire masks. You want to hire the real people. You want to make sure that you can trust them. It's probably 1-hour read, right? And you should definitely check it out. You can go to nofailhiring.net. You can either buy a paper copy or you can buy a digital copy. I think it's $7. It's not really much, right? Nofailhiring.net. I'm just sharing that with you because I'm so tired of seeing so many small businesses disappear. Just this last year, clients who were using our service would not really listen to us, would hire against our recommendation. And I had 3 clients. One lost, it's a car dealership. They lost about $250,000 in less than 3 months. I have an HVAC company in Tampa Bay area. They lost almost $500,000 in 6 months, between 5 and 6 months. And I have another company, she had to close her own practice because she had hired the wrong people, right? So it is the FBI statement, it's the fastest growing crime. And I did not have the time to put that slide in But per the FBI, small businesses are 4 to 5 times more liable to be victims than bigger businesses. Why? Because small businesses are less structured. Small businesses do not have a full HR department. They don't have a legal department. They don't have so many procedures. So it is much easier. Like this car dealership client, they hired the general manager against our suggestion, recommendation. The guy was basically signing the checks done to the company. He was endorsing them to his name. For 3 months.
Oosh.
The owner was living in another country, all right? He did not want to manage his business. Well, $250,000 in less than 3 months. All right, okay. So that's it. That's the number zero. Does that make sense to you that if you don't have talent acquisition, cold, if you don't control it, if you don't master it, you will lose money as a business? Does that make sense to you? It is the biggest item in your accounting books. So you should pay more attention. That's the simplicity. All right, I'm done with level zero. Let's move on. If that thing can do it, right? Come on. That's funny. Come on. All right, let's get to number one. Now remember, foundations, that's zero. Right? And you go up, and the higher you go, the more leverage you're going to have on your profitability. Now, so what's number one? Well, I was asking you the question, what is the number one criteria of success in any business? It's finance, it's profitability. Right? So it's very interesting that when I ask the question to business owners, they give me the answer in a second. Of course, profits is the most important thing. Right? You all know you can only manage your money when you have made it. You have to make it first. Well, guess what? And this is where that's what I want to share with you. When you ask that question to employees in percentage, how many of them do you think give that answer? That the most important criteria of success is profitability. How many of them in percentage do you think give that answer? Less than 5. Now, what does that mean to you? It means that you operate your business with a certain viewpoint. I need to make my business profitable, right? And again, it's not a motivation, it's a duty. You've got to make money. Even in Russia or China, they have to make money, right? So it's completely real to you. But if it's not real to your employees, what's going to happen? They're going to waste. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
And that's the problem. In small businesses, there is a definite lack of transparency on the subject of money. Now, how many of you have read that book, The Great Game of Business? Have you ever heard of that? One of the best books I would recommend to anyone. One of the best. Just for your information, this is the story of a company. They were in the 80s, they were almost bankrupt. And when they were almost bankrupt, the general manager basically went to the mother company and told them, I'm going to buy the company with the employees. I want to buy the company. And they did it basically a buyout. And 10, 15 years later, that company, the profitability had increased by 3,000%. And per the owner of the company, his number one successful action, by the way, this is the guy, Jack Stack, and it's not a new book, but I still recommend that you read that book. His number one strategy from day one, when they took over, was this. We are going to implement full transparency on the accounting. We are going to help everyone in the business become aware of the importance of profitability, because when everybody becomes more aware, they will become more responsible. And you know the first thing that he did? He put every employee on a financial course. to help them understand the meaning of profitability. He also implemented performance-based bonuses everywhere in the company, at every level, individual and group performance bonuses. And they went from going bankrupt within less than 15 years, they increased by 3,000% in profitability. And they're still doing very well as we speak. Right? So I'm saying that it's, I don't want to go into the details of this, but what I recommend is you need to help your people become more aware of the concept of profitability. Just by curiosity, anyone of you is doing that today? Getting them involved, looking at the numbers, and, you know, facing the fact that, oh my God, we have lost money this week as a group, as a company. When I say that, I have people coming to me and they say, Patrick, this is my business, this is my money. I say, yeah. So how do you like the idea that they are wasting your money? You like that? He says, no, I hate it. Then you better educate them. The only way you can actually increase your profits through your people is to educate your people on the subject. And funny enough, I have experienced that personally as a consultant. Every time that we have done this with our client, we educate every employee from the receptionist, the office manager, everyone, whether they have 15, 20, 100 employees, right? Every time we do that, we also create a performance bonus system. Guess what? Every single time, the company ends up making more money. You don't have to believe it. Just read that book, because there's a lot of tips on how you can actually do that. All right? Okay. Let's move on. And remember, you're going to get a copy of this. All right. The number two, we are moving up. And when you move up and you really work well there, well, you're going to make more money. It's very easy, and I could spend minimum a day on that subject. It's sales management. It's definitely one of my favorite subjects. I've trained probably about 48, 50,000 sales reps in my career, and I can tell you, I'm sure you will agree with me, but as long as you have not sold something, nothing happens. You agree with that? Everyone here is looking for good sales reps. Everyone. Why? Because you know that's the way to expand. So I am not going to spend too much time, unfortunately, on the time, but what I would like to share with you based on my experience as a sales trainer and a professional recruiter, I want to share with you the most important quality that you should be looking for when hiring salespeople. Are you interested? Yes. Because almost everyone is looking for it. What is the most important quality that you have to be looking for when hiring salespeople? Listening, my friend, is the second. Let me tell you why. If you listen and the customer says nothing, you're going to look stupid. I know, 4 years I've heard this, right? Oh, you should listen because you have 2 ears and only 1 mouth. That is actually not true. When you get there, you are totally right, right? There's many qualities that you are looking at, absolutely, right? And I am giving you a list here, but, and I'm glad you mentioned listening, because listening is number two. Listening will give some results if you do something else first, all right? None of those come first. This one comes first. First quality in selling is curiosity. That is the number one rule you have to look for. Now, would you like to have a tip on how to find out within 5 minutes if that person you are interviewing will be a good person to not just listen to you, but will actually show curiosity? Would you like a tip?
Yes.
That's very simple. At some point during the interview, you ask that person to sell you something. Sell me that clicker. Sell me that bottle. Sell me that watch. Anything stupid. Sell me that staple. Anything. They don't expect that. How many of you do that, by the way? Oh, you should do that. Because you see who's in front of you when you do that. Business review. I was proud of myself when I saw that one last year. It was in 2020. But the Harvard Business Review did a very interesting research. And they found out the direct relationship between the ability to ask a good question and the closing ratio of people. And they did a research on like 30,000, 35,000 salespeople. So if you don't believe me, you have to believe Harvard Business Review. They have a better reputation. And they spend more money to do the research, right? What does it mean for you from a sales management viewpoint? Number one, when you hire salespeople, that's the first thing you want to check. It doesn't matter. The rest does not matter. If they are curious, they will close more through that research. And if they are not curious, they will be talking and talking and talking. And you know, when salespeople talk, what happens to the customer? They fall asleep. Because the ability to ask a good question goes together with the ability to raise the customer's interest. Okay, I need to make sure I don't get excited on that subject because I don't have the time. But, ladies and gentlemen, was that a good tip?
Yes.
Right? Ask them to sell you something. And if you don't have the guts to do it, bring in one of your sales rep and ask your sales rep to ask their guy to sell them something. And you'll see, they will have a good time. All right, let's move. Number three on that scale, I call it the 100% leverage. What does that mean? If you master that strategic tool, number three, if you master it well, you could make your sales so much easier. You could actually double your sales just by implementing that tool. What is that tool? Now show it, you'll say, sure, absolutely, I agree. It's marketing. But I want to say something very specific about marketing. Because at the end of the day, what is the job of marketing? Is to attract qualified customers, right? So there's a golden rule that is not very well understood in the majority of small businesses, which is this. When it comes to sales and marketing, it is never how good your product or how good you are. Never. It's never because you have the best product or service in the market that will guarantee your success. Never. Whenever you sell, there will always be someone on the market pretending they are cheaper and better. You agree with that? It's never because of your product or your service. No, it is about how different you are and ideally how unique your offer is. If I had to summarize the concept of marketing, that would be it. The battleground is not on proving that you have a great product, never. In fact, the most successful companies never pretend that they have the best product. A great example would be McDonald's. If you ever heard them, if you ever seen them promoting that they have the best burger in town, never. Because they know they would be lying. It is not about the product. All right? So, one thing we need to understand, this pandemic that has been occurring in the last year has basically aggravated the relationship between suppliers and customers. The one thing that is very real for every one of us today is that it has become harder for your customers to make a buying decision. Do you agree with that? And there are many reasons, and those reasons are not even related to you. The number one reason that applies today is the increasing uncertainty of the future. The increasing uncertainty of the future basically tells our customers, I should keep my money because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. The fear of making a wrong buying decision today has become by far your worst competitor. Very often today, you lose a customer not because of the competition, but because of your customer. They never made a buying decision. How many of you have experienced that? Raise your hand. Right? Now, of course, you might lose customers thinking it's from a competitor. You call them back 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks later. They haven't made a decision. That's why I say today the fear factor is the most important objection that you need to be able to crack. And again, I could speak about that for a year or two, right? But anyhow, when you understand that the most important part of marketing is to show, to demonstrate that you are different or even better, unique, then you know what you need to work on. And you know this gentleman, of course, right? The whole battle of marketing is to demonstrate that what you offer, nobody else can. How do you call that? It's a marketing term. How do you call that? The ability to offer something that nobody else can. Yes, thank you very much. What is your USP? What is your unique selling proposition? We could spend a whole day. How many of you are very familiar with USP? Okay. There's more information on my presentation, so when you receive the PDF copy, read the information, very valuable information on how to develop a strong, unique selling proposition. Because here's the bad news. If you don't have a USP, you're going to have to find one. Because if you don't have one, if you can't find one, you're going to waste a lot of money on your marketing. 90% of your marketing budget should be allocated to communicating your USP. Okay, for those of you who are not familiar, I just want to spend a couple of minutes on this. Right? But basically, whatever you offer, remember it's not about your product. So let me give you some examples of application. A couple of years ago, I was in Athens, in Greece, giving a marketing seminar and talking about the USP. Now, a couple of years ago, and still today, Greece was really trouble, economically, socially. They were crashed. The economy went down 30%. Hundreds of thousands of people lost their job. Anyway, this lady comes to me at the end of the seminar, and she tells me, Patrick, I don't know how to use this concept of USP. And she happened to own a store for very high quality dresses for women. Beautiful dresses, high quality, expensive. And she tells me, with the economy today, I'm barely surviving. I don't know how to apply this. So I asked her the following question. I said to her, do you have less traffic to your store, or do you still have a lot of traffic? She says, listen, I am in one of the best spots in the old city of Athens. I get tons of people coming to my store, but usually 1 out of 4 would buy, today 1 out of 12. I cannot survive, and I don't know how to handle this. So I asked her, have you ever asked people why they don't buy? Because some lady, she comes, she tries something, she likes it, but she doesn't buy. Did you ask them why? She said, no. She said, I guess it's because of the crisis. I said, you don't know. Why don't you try? Why don't you ask? And call me and let me know. Just tell me what you got. Make a long story short, 2 weeks later, she called me. She had approximately 110 personal surveys. Did you like that person? Well, I really liked that. Why didn't you buy? 92% of the answers were the following. I don't know if my husband will like it. Because it's a time of crisis, I cannot afford to waste money. Because if I buy that thing and he doesn't like it, he's going to be upset. 92%! So I said to her, oh my God, this is fantastic. She said, why? I said, we have a USP. And I suggested to her to do the following. When a lady tries a dress, loves it, and says, let me think about it, or I will come back, ask her right away, are you afraid that your husband will not like you? Because you have 9 out of 10 chances that it is the case, right? So she did. And then I say, if she says yes, this is what you do. You tell the lady, listen, take it, go home, give me a credit card, I will wait 1 week before processing your credit card. If I don't see you after 1 week, I will process the credit card. I said this on the phone and she says to me, are you crazy? This is Greece. They're gonna go away with the dress and I'll never get paid. I say, how do you know? Make a long story short. She tries it. She had no choice, right? 6 months later, her stats, her sales were 22% up. She was offering something that other stores would not, had nothing to do with the product. It had everything to do with the relationship. Now, in percentage, do you know how many times she was not able to collect the money? 2%. But let me ask you this, 2% and a 22% increase in sales, was it worth it? By the way, I did not invent that idea. I took that idea of USP from, you remember in 2009, when America was in really trouble, and all the car manufacturers were going crazy because they were like minus 40, minus 50, minus 60% sales. And at the end of 2009, Hyundai plus 22%. You remember that? What happened? Everybody was losing money. GM went bankrupt. Hyundai, they were introducing at the beginning of 2009, the new Sonata. And you know how they were promoting the car? Buy a BMW for half the price. Tons of people were visiting the showroom, no sales. The sales manager became very, very interested. He said, wait a minute, we have tons of people showing up. So we're going to survey them. Started to survey people. Do you like the car from 1 to 10? 10, great car. How do you like the price? Amazing. How do you like the financing? 0% for 5 years. Amazing. How do you like the guarantee? 100,000 miles. Amazing. Why didn't you buy it? You know what? 90% of the answers. I don't know if I'm going to keep my job. 2009, remember? People had no certainty about the future. That was the barrier. So they became smart. You know what they proposed? They created a whole campaign that was the following. You do the financing with us. If within the next 2 years you lose your job, you can return your car, no penalty. Did you get that? No penalty, you just return your car, we'll take it back. At the end of the year, plus 22%. How many cars did they have to take back? 2%. Isn't that interesting? I'm just giving you those examples because those are fantastic examples of USP. A USP is something that you offer that nobody else does. By the way, Hyundai, into Ford, GM, a year and a half to 2 years to come up with the same USP, but it was not a USP because it was already offered by Hyundai. Took them a year and a half to 2 years. Hyundai had almost 2 years advance on the market. Does that make sense? All right? So when it comes to marketing, if you do a strong marketing campaign, it will make your sales much easier and more profitable. You have to be willing to take the risk. If you are not willing to take the risk, if you are not willing to risk the deal so that your customer does not take any risk, it's up to you. But strong, powerful USP means. Again, unfortunately, I don't have the time to go through the details on that. Those of you who are not familiar with the USP, did you get a good tip? You feel that you got a good tip? Yes? Beautiful. All right. Okay, come on, move. I don't know what the hell's going on. Come on. All right. All right, I'm just going to go through this. I only have time to go through this, but that's showing you that there's much more to do. Next. Number four. I call it the 1000% leverage. And it is public relations. Now, what the heck does that mean, public relations? And how do you compare public relations to marketing? And why is public relations senior to marketing? 10 times stronger, 10 times potentially more powerful. Why? Very simple. What is marketing? Marketing is when you brag about your product. Public relations is when someone else brags about your product, your company, or you. That is the whole difference. And in today's economic environment, it is true that we live in a PR world. And the danger is if you don't take care of your PR, someone else will. And if someone else will, chances are you will not like it. The best way for a competitor to kill your business is to post very negative reviews on Google. Cost nothing. How many of you have had that experience? Knowing that you had competitors writing very bad reviews about your business. Of course, you can always dispute, challenge, but it's a pain in the butt, and in the meantime, they have done the damage. How many of you are systematically on a regular basis adding five-star review on Google about your business? Look around. About 20, not even 20%, 50% of you. That should be part of someone's job in your business. Now, how do you do that? Well, you call a customer, you tell them to leave on your computer, go on Google, right? And you ask them to write a review for you. If you want to be higher ranked when people Google you, what do you need to do? You need to increase the number of five-star reviews. By the time you have 25 five-star reviews, you are in good shape. By the time you reach 100 five-star reviews, you will always, almost always be on the first page. When people Google, not your company, but things related to your business. So you should definitely work at improving your PR. Everybody has a website. How many of you on the home page? All right, the question is very precise. How many of you on your home page you have at least a customer talking about how great you are for your company? On the home page, look around, about 30% of you. People don't believe what you say, but they will believe what other people say. That's PR. So you need to really get yourself better prepared when a potential customer is about to make a buying decision or is just curious and is visiting your website. Do you know, and if some of you are very familiar with website technology, when someone visits your website, they don't stay long on the homepage. But you know the second page they are looking for? Testimonials, not prices. They want to know what other people say about your business. Now, I'm sure that every one of you, you regularly increase and improve your dedicated testimonial page, right? Raise your hand if you do, on a regular basis. If you have testimonials that are 10 years old, that does not work anymore. Now, let me ask you this. Does not always apply, but very often can. What is the perfect, ideal format of a testimonial?
Video.
Video. Absolutely. Now, another thing I want to say about the subject of PR, there are two areas of PR, internal and external. Which one comes first? Internal. What does it mean, internal PR? Well, it means making sure that your employee would brag about your business. Making sure that they are happy, that they like what they are doing, that they are having fun. That's called internal PR. All right? Okay, we move on because I'm getting late. This one is very interesting, guys. It's higher on the scale. I call it morale. You may have the best product in the world. If the morale is low in the company, are you going to expand? No, we all know that. But I want to share with you some very interesting statistics which will motivate you from a leadership viewpoint, which will motivate you to really aggressively use that strategic tool called morale. Let me show you a few things. Happiness at work. Companies that use happiness, that have happy people in the workplace, outperform the competition by 20%. Right? I give the source of that statistic. I did not make it up. This is the result of years of research by academies, authors. Happiness in the workplace raises sales by 27% and raises general productivity by 31%. And I'm not done yet. Happy employees, they take 10 times less sick days and they stay twice as long on the job. All right, what does that mean? It means very simply this. You should look at happiness as the most powerful tool from a leadership viewpoint. Focus your people management on two major levels. One, provide a working environment that is conducive to satisfaction at work and generally happiness. And two, hire people only who are willing and able to make you happy. That's very simple. Now, I want to bring something to your attention here. Being happy and making other people are two very different things. Sometimes I hear customers, they say, oh, I just want to hire happy people. Well, guess what? I have seen some very happy people who were the happiest when they were making others miserable. Would you agree with that? So I say, no, that's not what I want to get. I want to focus on people who will make others happy. And in the process, they'll be happier by doing so. It's a big difference. Again, this is why I invite you to try out the pre-selected test that provides a happiness contribution index. And I want to tell you something. Every time that my clients hired someone and they had a happiness contribution index less than 65%, it was a misery. It didn't work out. It did not work out. Right? So don't fall in the trap. What you want people who will make others successful and happy. It's a contribution thing. I am happy when I make you happy. It's very different that I'm just happy. All right? So feel free to go to hirebox.com, check it out. You get the 2-week free trial. You can use all the tests that are available. All right. Need to move up because I'm ready to get late. The top on the scale, the most important one, and I know because I've heard how we're talking about it at least 100 times, it's purpose. You can call it whatever you want. You can call it vision. You can call it the reason why. But purpose is the key to long-lasting success. Improving the community is part of your vision. I know that because I've heard it many times. Purpose is something that has to be shared, provided it is worthwhile to work hard and fight for it. Now, I do understand that all of you, you do have a vision, right? Raise your hand if you do have one. How many of you would say with 100% certainty that your employees know what it is? Raise your hand. Look around. Well, if they don't, great. Fantastic that you have one, but it's useless. If you don't share it with your people, how can they contribute to it? So it is one thing to have a great vision, but if you don't share it with your people, how are they going to contribute to it? Right? Now, I will end with what I started. I'll give you a tip on recruitment. If you have a vision, a good purpose for your company, and you are working hard, and you are fighting for it, and you believe in it, and you are passionate, write it down on a piece of paper. And when you hire people, before you actually hire them, ask them to read that vision. And ask them how they believe they can contribute to it. Ask them. And then when they, if they sign a contract or if it's at will, it doesn't matter, but then make sure that they understand that the only reason they could be terminated is because they did not contribute to the vision of the company. Every job has to be contributed to the vision or purpose of the business. You agree with that? It's a fantastic tool to allow you to detect those people who will fight for the vision of the company, or if they will only fight for their paycheck. Does that make sense? All right. Now, to give you some ideas of purposes, I just did some research and I came up with some examples of application of vision or purpose. All right, so I'm just going to quickly share them with you. But you will find out that those successful companies, interestingly enough, they operate based on a vision. They make that vision known. They work on it every single day. And they share that vision when they hire people. You don't hire people to just come up and do the job from 9 to 5. You hire people to contribute to the achievement of your purpose or vision. You agree with that? So you agree with that? Raise your hand if you agree with that. Just want to make sure you're still awake. Now, if you agree with that, now you are trapped. You have to share it. Because if you don't share it, it does not exist. And I've done a lot of consulting on the subject of vision and purpose. And when I ask the business owner, what's your vision for the company? And they get excited. They get excited, right? And they tell me, and they're so proud. They're so proud of what they are saying. And then I go to the employees and ask the same question. What's the purpose of this business? What's the vision of this company? And I get no answer. You need to communicate, share your passion about the purpose, the vision of your business. If you don't, they'll never be able to contribute to it. And the other thing, from a recruitment viewpoint, if you do have a purpose, a vision, no matter how you want to call it, if you have one, and you ask any employee, are you willing to dedicate yourselves to contribute to have this company reach our vision and purpose every single day? If you are willing to dedicate yourself to do it, you are hired. If not, we are not a good fit for you. It's not that they are a bad fit, we are not a good fit for you. But it is a fantastic tool of selection. Now, even if you hire them with at-will employment, no employment contract, have them sign that dedication. I, Patrick, dedicate myself to contribute to the vision of this business, and I will work hard, knowing that in return, my employer will do their best to make sure that I am happy, I make good money, and I'm having fun at work. That's a morale contract. Has no legal value, except it's much more valuable. You agree with that? How many of you have such a contract, a morale contract? Because everybody's talking about legal contract, right? I'm talking about morale contract that binds people much stronger than legal contract. Again, it has no legal value. It has a high morale value. And some people will not want to sign it. Should you hire them? Don't do that. All right? Okay. So, to finish off, all right, to summarize, those are the points on the scale that you need to work on. The bottom is a fundamental. The top is the top. Without it, can't work. But without the bottom either, they work together. But it starts with talent acquisition. All right? So having said that, ladies and gentlemen, it was an absolute pleasure to be with you today. Thank you very much. Thank you.
HireBox.com, NoFailHiring.net. How many of you got something that you can take back and take action on in your business? Raise your hand. Check it out. You're making a difference.
Thank you.
What do you have questions? Who has a question? Anyone? Okay, here, let me get the microphone to you.
Mike.
Hi, I'm John. This might be a little specific, but is there a minimum of a daily allotment for those job boards? Because I know you were saying you could spend too little and basically just get, you know, pushed out. It's probably too specific for, you know, based on which board, but I know you said maybe 500 total, but you're spending, and you said maybe 100 boards, so out of that, that's not very much for each one. So I didn't know if there was like a weight or something like that.
Okay, good question, and here's the trick. If you use the proper job boards, a lot of them will dispatch to other job boards and you don't pay additional money. You just need to have someone who is a little bit technically well educated to know how to do that. But you know, for example, you go to, again, ZipRecruiter is one of them. But there are some, how many of you are using an ATS when you hire people? Applicant tracking system? An applicant tracking system is a CRM. It's like a customer management system, except that it helps you manage candidates. Some of those ATSs will dispatch the job the posting for you for free. That's the beauty of it. Right? So I would say, let's say you have a $300 budget, you should spend two-thirds of it on the biggest job boards. And the rest, use the additional money to optimize your listing. How many of you are familiar with listing optimization on Indeed? What does that mean? It means if you put more money, they guarantee that you're going to get candidates. Doesn't mean that they are good candidates. They just say if you're going to get more candidates. It's called optimization of your listing, of your posting. So you need to become more familiar about that. And by the way, if you use Indeed regularly, they have a support. Once you start spending money with them, they're actually really good to help you out.
Yes. Great question. Any more questions? We got one in the back, too. There's one up here, Michael, and then one in the way back.
The way back.
Our biggest billboard is our vehicles that go around town. Do you recommend having a sign for hire on that?
Yes, sir. It's the most visible one. It's like your business card, right? Absolutely. If you have vehicles and you are hiring, I give you my line that I've been using for 35 years. Expanding, need help, right? We are growing, we need help. We are hiring, put phone number or an email address or a landing page. But yes, by all means, big ones.
Next question.
Yes.
You talked about posting jobs if you have more than 15 employees. Is that the same as if you have a position for promotion? Like if we have somebody in mind that we're going to promote, do we have to put out there that there is a position available?
Well, if you promote someone, you don't need to create a posting. You can just do it internally. Make sense?
We have to, like, we have a supervisor opening and we decide we already know who we want to promote. We don't have to put it out there and let other people have a chance.
No, but if you put out a posting to hire someone outside, legally, your people should know because you have to give them a chance to apply for that position. And what I've seen quite often, not quite often, but I've seen it, some employees would sue their boss for not giving them a chance. And on average, when the EEOC visits you, even if you have done nothing wrong, it will cost you about $25,000 to $30,000.
Are you pleased?
Hey Patrick, following up on that same question, is that when you say 15 employees, is that per federal ID number? Like
yes.
Okay.
Yes. And by the way, if you have less, it doesn't mean that the EEOC will not give you trouble if you did something wrong, but they just go to companies that have more money first.
Okay, here we go right here. And then Glenn,
do you have any examples of a USP for a service company, such as plumbing, we do septic tank pumping? Is there anything in your repertoire that you can recall?
As the $1 million question that I have to answer in 30 seconds. I mean, I'm thinking in terms of USP. What do I know? It's not about the product. I mean, how can you get a USB on a piece of pipe, right? Plumbing, no. Look at what could you do to minimize the risk from your customer's viewpoint. He's about to hire your services. And he's thinking, oh my God, am I doing the right buying decision? Is it the right thing to do? They don't know. So how can you actually get rid of that hesitant, you know, they are hesitant. They don't know, what could you do? You know, are you offering any type of warranty? So you have to think in terms of how could we remove the fear factor from our customers? Let me give you an example, not in the plumbing industry, but in the computer industry. I had a customer, they do a computer system. They install computer networks, computer hardware and for the customer. And they maintain, right? So they came up, after my seminar, they came up with an amazing USP. Guaranteed that when you have a problem with your computer, you will never see it. You'll never see that you have a problem because we take care of it for you. We'll see the problem, we'll handle it, you did not even see it. And they were guaranteeing it. If you see a problem, that means we have not done a proper job of avoiding the problem. So every time that you see a problem that we have to fix, we'll do it for free. Now, you better know what you are doing when you give a strong USP. You better know what you are doing, right? But that's what you need to think on those lines. What can we do, even if it's a little bit risky? Remember 22% increase in sales for 2% return? Was it worth it? No, it was worth it. Okay?
Excellent. Before we go to Glenn, hey, I just want to remind the people on Zoom, if you have a question, type that into the chat. Santiago is looking, so feel free to type your questions in, and then we'll go over to Mr. Arce.
Patrick, we have had a real great success with employee referrals for hiring. What's your opinion on using keywords through Indeed to look for particular candidates?
Keywords?
Keywords.
Oh, keywords. Well, it depends on the position, right? Because depending on the position, I would definitely use some keywords. Like I was saying, hey, people are looking for challenges. People are looking for future development. Use those keywords. Absolutely.
Would that be this new one? Have you?
Oh, fun. That's another. I mentioned that yesterday. Fun and work. Absolutely. If you know that you're going to do your best to make people happy and working while working on it, promote it. Absolutely.
Michael, we're first. I mean, we can arm wrestle or pop Richmond. What is that? Rock, paper, scissors if you want. But Christopher's up. Okay, that was supposed to be funny. No one laughed. Here we go.
So when you were talking about promoting, using free listings, that was amazing, using your own personal. So would it be advantageous to use, like, to ask our friends, family, even our clients, or to use their pages too?
Good question. I have a client, he got this brilliant idea after the seminar. He said, I am in contact with my customers almost every day. How? Oh, I send them invoices. So he had a brilliant idea. Most of the time when you print an invoice, you print on one side, and on the other side, what do you have? Nothing. So he printed, hey, if you're the only one who's looking for a job, we are growing fast, we need help, and we have the following positions open, invite them to go to that link. On the invoice. He was sending invoices every day, and he got a lot of good return. Absolutely. Use your clients, your friends. Absolutely.
I just want to brag about our company just a little bit on your unique selling proposition. One of the things we do for our Softwatch Systems company is on the equipment, we give a lifetime warranty to the original purchaser. So on the substructure of the system, the tanks, a lot of the components, we give a lifetime warranty. And then some people are like, wow, we have that much confidence in our equipment. But one of the really unique things we do is we tell them, as far as customer support in the field, if something's broke down or you're trying to troubleshoot something, of course, they have their owner's manual, and then they can go to our Facebook page, or they can contact a pro staff member. They can contact technical support with us. And kind of as a last stage, they can even get on like FaceTime or Facebook Messenger and video conference us. If we cannot help them figure out how to fix the equipment, we will fly to a major airport, have a technician walk off the plane with tools, and fix their system in the parking lot at the airport if they can get it there, and then fly back to our office. Now, we've never had a chance to exercise that because usually people figure out how to fix their systems and all. But it's always been a unique selling proposition for us. Well, this last week, we finally had one we couldn't figure out how to fix. And I was like, I think I was the only person in the company that was excited about this. Everybody's like, how are we going to pay for this? And everybody else is shaking their heads. I'm like, guys, you don't see the vision, you know? I'm like, we finally had this chance to create great folklore, great PR out there, and go out and solve this problem for this customer. So we literally called the customer back and said, hey, we're going to put a technician, Charlie, on a plane first thing Tuesday morning. He's going to fly up to New Jersey. He's going to walk off the plane, some tools, replacement pump, anything that we need to fix your system. We're going to get you back up and running, okay? And then we'll fly home, and if it was, you know, we're just going to pay for it. It was like a $250 flight. Wasn't a big deal, all in all. And so it didn't really cost us a lot of money, but when we got there, literally, it was one of those things. You know how this went. You step off the plane 15 minutes later, the piece of equipment was working. You know, and we found the problem pretty much right away. So the customer took Charlie and drove around and showed him some of his job sites and took him a lunch and made a day of it, put him back on the plane, he flew back. But it's great folklore. Don't be afraid to really create really unique selling propositions. A lot of us are usually way too conservative marketing our companies and even advertising for people. When you put down a range, which I think the key is when you say put down a range in your advertisements, put down 40 to 70,000. People are like, I can't afford a $70,000 technician. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, we've never paid out. I'm like, let me ask you a question. If the right technician walked in, would you pay $70,000 more? Well, if the right one walked in, yeah, sure. They did this, they did that. Well, they might walk in. So put that as the upper range on there. You might attract some better people if you open up that range. We usually don't have the guts to make big moves, and that's important.
Thank you. Hey, nice work. Last question, or that was the last question. Do you have any parting comments or anything for us?
I had fun. Did you have fun?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right, round of applause. Let's give it up. A really good welcome. Have a really good. See you later. All right, so here's what's going to happen. In 15 minutes, we're going to have the optional spiritual session. Now, before you get all weird about it, let me share a couple things. A, we did not bring any leg irons or handcuffs or anything to make you stay in the room. So you don't have to do that. Listen, Mr. Zig Ziglar was asked one time when he was giving a corporate presentation. They said, listen, we're corporate America. We don't want you to talk about any of that religious stuff. And he said, well, I want to make sure that I give you 100% of what's made us successful. Do you mind if I, you want me to share part of it or all of it? So that's what we're going to be talking about. It's not going to take very long. It's at 5 o'clock. You're welcome to come. If you decide to come, we're not going to make you feel uncomfortable. If you decide not to come, we're not going to make you uncomfortable that you didn't come. We just invite you to come and just share a little bit more about where the success comes from, and we feel pretty strongly about it. So please come back at 5, and we'll see you guys back here at 5 o'clock.